You're listening to the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Perhaps you watch more preseason NBA than I do, so you've been hearing this music lately. Actually, a doubleheader on ESPN tonight. Hey, there is no baseball. But I like hearing it because it means we are near the start of the regular season. Tuesday for the NBA, 1 week from tonight, actually, for the Rockets and New Orleans Pelicans. Need Astros Red Sox game four to be an afternoon game. And also happy to hear the music because in this instance, it connotes first visit since finals time back in the spring with Jeff Van Gundy, lead analyst, along with Mark Jackson, working with Mike Breen, ESPN, ABC through the finals, and with a number of play-by-play guys during the year, and always gracious with time, fun to talk basketball and whatever else comes up. Jeff, trust all is well. I hear you are so confident in the Astros, you're taking them to beat the Red Sox in three.
No. Listen, that's going to be a heck of a series, right? I mean, it's going to be fun. A lot of fun.
A lot of fun. What's the most fun thing you did this summer? In years past, you've climbed Kilimanjaro and crazy things. That wasn't in the summer. You did a marathon, but anything particularly exotic?
No, not this year. Not anything really. I'm getting old, so I'm slowing down. I think getting up in the morning is a pretty good accomplishment, so that's what I'm sticking with right now.
It's a good start. All right, we'll get to basketball, and let me start local. Are you working Rockets-Pelicans next week, or did you strongly request Suns-Mavericks?
Yes.
You resisted the temptation to demand Suns-Mavericks opening night?
Thankfully. I don't know how we got that game, but yeah, I have the Rockets, and then I have them that Saturday, too, in L.A., so it'll be a good chance to see them and see their retooled lineup a little bit, see how that works. I think they're going to have a heck of a year. I read about, they're wanting Jimmy Butler, and I can, obviously that would be a big help. I don't know how they get him, but if they did, they would be right up there talent-wise with Golden State.
Well, rumors are badly overpriced at a dime per dozen, but the Rockets rumor, Minnesota's alleged request demand, if nothing's going to happen with Miami, Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker for Jimmy Butler, would you do that if you're the Rockets?
I would be hesitant on, first of all, both have played very well for the Rockets, so I can understand if Minnesota asked for that. I'd be reticent if I was Houston to trade P.J. Tucker.
Small ball five, their overall grit, defending positions all over the court.
Yeah, that's, the ability to guard multiple positions, have an edge. I thought with the trade of Ariza, his value becomes even more. I just really think he's an underrated, very, very solid player that has great versatility position-wise, but also to his game. And so it's hard to find tough, hard-nosed competitors that are versatile, and he certainly is all of that.
So what is your perspective on the Carmelo Anthony acquisition at this point in Carmelo's career, the second time around with Mike D'Antoni? Maybe the second time is the charm. And given they're essentially replacing Ariza and Bamute, am I nuts in thinking James Ennis may actually be the more important acquisition?
Well, first of all, I watched Ennis play a lot last year because he ended the season in Detroit with my brother. And he doesn't move as well as Ariza, like laterally, but he's another hard-playing, really long defending type. So I thought that was a good acquisition. I have no idea how the Anthony trade is going to work out because right now no one knows what his level of acceptance is going to be because no one cares about minutes or shots in the preseason. You're going to have to wait throughout the course of the regular season to see how his role evolves and how he's able to deal with whatever comes his way as far as minutes and shots. He's never played second fiddle until last year to another player. Last year it was Westbrook. Now it's going to be two different guys, Harden and Chris Paul. But I'll say this, that Harden and Paul are all in on Anthony. So I think that'll make Anthony feel good about players wanting to play with him after a year where, you know, a lot was questioned about his game and how much he fit into today's championship-style basketball.
Rockets off an obviously beyond phenomenal season, 65 wins, shattering the franchise record. The great will never know with the Paul hamstring. Though, Jeff, I always note if Iguodala hadn't gone down in game three, well, maybe the Warriors win in five. So we'll never know. They won 65. The Las Vegas number for the Rockets is 56.5. I don't care how good your roster is. You can't just show up and win 60-65. What do you think of the Rockets' chances to, say, win 60 again?
Well, I think they'll be the first seed if they win 60. I think they're going to come in behind Golden State in the regular season. And then a lot of it for both teams is going to be health and just playing well at the right time. Last year, I thought the Western Conference Finals was the championship series. I think it's going to be the same thing this year. I think Houston... You know, obviously with the Paul injury, it's just a brutal injury. But to be up double digits at halftime in both games 6 and 7 and not be able to finish it, because it wasn't to get to the finals, it was to win a championship. That's got to be a challenge to bounce back from. But I think they're going to bounce back well. I think they're excited about their opportunity. They know these chances to win don't come along all the time, and it's something to be savored. They have a real legitimate shot.
Talk with Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff, if there were $10 million in it for you, or $10 billion, and all you have to do is identify one team, the one team most likely to be in the 2019 NBA Finals, who you taking?
Boston.
I thought you might go there.
Yeah, I think Boston is really, really good. And I think, not that I don't think Toronto and Philly aren't good, but I just think the path is more simple for the top-seeded team. I think they will be the top-seeded team like they were last year when they got to the conference finals. Obviously Toronto had the most victories, but I just think Boston is that good. I think they're that deep. I think, Charlie, their issue is going to be, can everybody be happy with their role? Because when you look at them right now, guys who played the significant roles last year are going to have to take a step back because of Hayward and Irving coming back. And so I'm going to be interested to see how they sort of share, not the ball when they play, but just the whole, like, how they share, like, minutes and praise and blame. I don't think it's going to be simple for them, but I think they are the most talented team. And I think they're the one team in the Eastern Conference that would have a good shot at either the Warriors or the Rockets because of their elite defensive ability. You know, they're long, they can switch a lot, they've got good lateral quickness. So I would put them as my favorite to definitely reach the finals.
Back to the West. Noted you have Rockets, Pelicans, and the Rockets at the Lakers. There'll be a little bit of hype that night as LeBron makes his Laker home debut. What's your curiosity level, your dart at the board as to how it shakes out? I think it's a fascinating collection of players. You have all those young guys to learn with LeBron and Lonzo Ball, if he can shoot a lick, Josh Hart, Caldwell Pope, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and then all the crazy old guys, basketball crazy, and Stevenson and Beasley and McGee. And when things aren't going well, Rondo can go on the fritz. Man, Luke Walton's going to earn his money.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. You know, they talked about having multiple ball handlers, but if you're Luke Walton, even though you want multiple ball handlers, you want the ball in James's hands. And I'm interested to see who can space the floor around him well. Over time, you know, can those older guys share lesser roles? I really like the way Ingram's developed. I love Josh Hart. Kuzma is a good offensive player. I'll be interested to see about his defensive improvement. And then, you know, the older guys, like I said, role acceptance is huge. And I'll be interested to see how they are able to adapt and share, just like I was mentioning about Boston before.
A couple of things before I let you go. Obviously, it's the Rockets, the Warriors, and then a drop down, another drop down, and then we get to everyone else. But who could you see third and fourth, or who would you take third and fourth? Can the Lakers make that kind of vault sheerly with LeBron showing the way? Denver, Utah, Oklahoma City. Does Portland recover from its playoff annihilation? The West, as always, it is deep.
Well, I think, you know, 3 through 9 last year was so bunched up. You know, you've got the two teams that are the prohibitive favorites and the Rockets and the Warriors. And then everybody else is sort of, it's going to come down to health, maybe an in-season trade. I really like Utah. I would put Utah third. I think they're going to be up in that mid-50s range. I think they're that good defensively. They're elite if Gobert stays healthy. And after that, I think I really like Denver. They didn't make the playoffs last year, but I think they have a very deep and talented team. San Antonio just took a major injury to Murray.
Killer.
I think a lot of it's going to be health related, and that's hard to obviously predict, but I really do like the way Utah and Denver are set up.
Lastly, point of emphasis for officiating, the freedom of movement stuff. I just don't watch a lot of preseason NBA because it's preseason. From what you've seen, and if they adhere to it through the regular season and the playoffs, how big the impact, and what do you think the foremost impact would be?
Well, thankfully, Charlie, you don't watch a lot of preseason. It's really unworthy to watch. You know, no one plays. The games are called like they're free throw-a-thons. It's awful. So you're not missing anything. Listen, the freedom of movement stuff has been around in the NBA for quite some time. I think this is more just a re-emphasis of it than anything else. But with that emphasis, again, comes a lot of free throws. And free throws, to me, are are a blight on our game. It's awful to watch. And yet, for them to get the type of movement and freedom of movement they want, the officials have no choice but to call it tight. And so I'm going to be interested to see, you know, like a lot of things, there's preseason officiating, there's regular season officiating, and then there's playoff officiating. And you're really not going to know the impact of it all until you start watching playoff games.
For those who like to go with the us against the world, they're out to get us. Last year was the James Harden rule. Fair to say, if they truly enforce this, it would benefit a team more like Golden State that is all about movement, and other than when they go Durant Curry with it in the playoffs, whereas the Rockets are so much more pick and roll, less movement overall in the half court.
Oh, it's absolutely to benefit teams like Golden State. I think the league has a way they want the game to be played, and they're legislating rules to try to, I don't want to say force teams, but they're trying to make the game a certain way. They want it to be Golden State-like. And I don't think it's to benefit Golden State in particular, but to try to manufacture the game to go in that direction. The NBA doesn't want to see post-play. They don't want to see isolation play, although I think all the switching that's come back into the NBA because of these potent offenses is going to encourage more isolation play. And so, yeah, they want to force it to be Golden State-like, and you're going to see more and more rules along the way to try to make teams try to play like them.
Jeff, next round of World Cup qualifiers, not until late November. Is that right?
That's correct.
At Argentina, I saw. Oof.
At Argentina and at Uruguay. Argentina's got the best team in our because of their continuity and their talent. Luis Scola, who played last night for Shanghai, is still playing for the Argentinian national team and playing very well. So, yeah, it's going to be good. We've got two tough road games.
Well, as always, appreciate the time and insight. Hope to catch up maybe a time or two before you head south of the equator. Here's to the season.
All right. I appreciate it, Charlie.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Van Gundy on the program.
Never go back to the AM dial.
Your home for sports is only on FM.
With ESPN 97.5.
And Sports Map 94.1.